It's wonderful to be in the presence of the Lord. Hallelujah. I don't know if it's winter or summer outside, but I sure wish it'd make up its mind. But I know that it feels good to be in the presence of God. Man, it's been a great weekend. I came back. We went to men's conference this weekend, and I got charged and recharged. So I'm excited to tell you all about it. Maybe tonight, we'll see. But I want to again thank Pastor for the opportunity to teach Sunday school, and I enjoy the opportunity, but I also don't take it lightly. It's a very serious thing to me, and so I got home late last night and I began to pray and seek the Lord, and he took me to this lesson that I'm going to teach this morning, and it actually, crazy enough, ties into last Sunday. So do everybody remember what we taught last Sunday? The title of last Sunday's was God is not surprised by what surprises you. And at the end of all of that, I kind of tied it with Mary. And when the angel of the Lord came and told Mary what was fixing to surprise her in her life. How she was married or a spouse to be married, and all of a sudden an angel appears to her and says, guess what, you're with child, and it's not Joseph's, right? And through the whole part of that testimony in that scripture of Mary, the very last thing she says before the angel departs is she says, be it unto me. I trust you, God, so you do according to your will. And I'm going to trust the process, which, crazy enough, ties into today's lesson, and that is learning to trust God. Learning to trust God. Man, I hope and pray that I can have the same spirit as Mary did when the Lord comes to me one day and says, hey, I've got a surprise for you, and I can say, you know what? Be it unto me. But I have to learn to do that. Trust is not something that is easy for anybody. And so let's dig into this morning and learning to trust God. You can keep your seats. I'm just going to go to Proverbs chapter 22 and verse 17. Sorry, Brother Jess. It is 17, but that's the verse. 22 verse 17. And it says, bow down thine ear and hear the words of the wise, and apply thine heart unto knowledge. I want an understanding heart. And so I have to put some application into what I'm fixing to teach today. For it is a pleasant thing if thou keep them within thee. They shall withal be fitted in thy lips, that thy trust may be in the Lord. That thy trust may be in the Lord. Trust is a big word. An outstanding Bible scholar and a teacher, I'm told of a Brother Payne, passed away many years ago in Georgia. And shortly after his death, following his burial, a note was found in his Bible, and this was the note. Trust is a dimension beyond faith. Faith will see miracles, but trust will carry you through when you can't understand why faith didn't work. I'm going to say that one more time. Trust is a dimension beyond faith. Faith will see miracles, but trust will carry you through when you can't understand why faith didn't work. Not always can faith deliver from the den of lions, but it's trust that will be able to keep you while you're in that den. Not only faith will deliver you from the valley of the shadow of death, but trust will carry you through the valley. Faith and trust go hand in hand, but they are two separate ingredients in our lives. So from this brief but powerful message, an inspiration, this is inspiring. Realizing the value and the essential part of what trust is. So what is trust? Trust appears in both New and Old Testaments. As a matter of fact, I put in the search bar, trust in the Lord, and 64 verses came up as a reference to trusting in the Lord. Most of them the psalmist wrote, right? Trust is big throughout Scripture. So what is trust? So there's two different terms, or multiple different definitions in two different terms. You have a Hebrews term, and you have a Greek term. So a couple of those things, chokasaw in Hebrew, trust is defined as to flee for protection, or to confide in, or to have hope, or to make a refuge. Baltok in Hebrew, also defined as trust, is to hide for refuge or be confident or sure or to have a hope. Another definition is to wait, be patient, hope, to tarry, to stay. A refuge, security, assurance, confidence, again, back to hope. A shelter, a hope, or a refuge. These are all Hebrew definitions used differently throughout Scripture. Greek definitions include to expect or to confide or to hope, to convince, to pacify, to conciliate, to rely, to believe, to have confidence, and make a friend, to have faith, to entrust, to rely, to have confidence. These are Greek definitions. Webster's definitions is, once again, to have confidence, to rely or resting of the mind on the integrity, the justice, the friendship, or other sound principle of a person or thing. Something entrusted to a person, a charge, or a duty. So when you examine these terms and definitions, it becomes clear that trust is an ingredient in life that ultimately we all want to acquire. And since trust is a learned behavior, it's a learned art, we need to be taught how to trust. We need to be taught how to pursue this valuable commodity of life. How do I trust? Trust is not an inherent characteristic or trait of humans. This all started with Adam's fall. You see, Adam trusted God. But subsequently, the devil came into the picture. And he brought, the one thing the devil did is brought question to that trust. And so simply because Satan lied to Adam and Eve, it instilled a distrust in humanity. Nothing creates distrust quicker than deceit. Brother John, if I said to you something and it turned out to be a lie, it would be hard for you to trust me again. Brother Neil, if I told you something that turned out to be false, my word is no longer something that you can say, I know for a shadow of a doubt that Brother Colton, Brother Colton's word is concrete. It instills an ingredient in there that creates a a doubt. It creates a question. One of Satan's greatest ploys and actual most effective tactic is to cause people to doubt God. It is his most successful tool in his toolbox, is to create a question in your mind to doubt the word of God. You can't believe what God says. Genesis 3, 1 through 5 discusses that. Listening to Satan results in blatant distrust towards everything and everybody. From such nature and background, God has worked with humans and produced a plan whereby we can learn to trust again. In such a frame of reference, it becomes unquestionable that we can depend on the one thing in our life and God created was his word. Was his word. This is one thing right here that I can grasp a hold of and say, I can trust the word of God. When everything else fails, I can lean on the word of God. When life happens, I can trust in the word of God. It is my go-to. While there are many avenues through which we acquire trust in God, there are three topics that I want to talk about today. The very first one and the most important is the word of God. Studying the track record of someone or something in which we can possibly trust is our decision. It's my decision to put what I trust in my hands. What do you choose to trust today? Do you choose to trust humanity? Do you choose to trust the things in life that are coming at you? Or do you trust the word of God? Proverbs 22:17, which is what I just discussed, establishes stepping stones to trust. We are to lend our ear and hear, thus saith the word of the Lord. What does God say? Hearing God's word is a prerequisite to faith, and faith is a prerequisite to trust. First, in our journey, we must hear God's word to trust it. We have to have an ear. Hear the word of the Lord. Listen to what God has to say. Next, we are to apply our hearts to God's knowledge. It goes back to what I just read. It's a pleasant thing if you keep it with thee. It shall withal be fitted in thy lips that I trust the Lord. Applying my heart to God's knowledge, truth must enter into our hearts and be believed and accepted as facts. But to enter into my heart, it's got to enter through my ears. It's got to enter through my eyes. I must hear it and I must read it. Have you ever heard the thought? Have you ever heard the phrase? And this just came to mind. If you hear something over and over and over and over and over long enough, it becomes truth. That's why the media is so successful in causing division and causing problems. Back in the day, before my consecration days, I had a TV, and I knew my pastor preached against TV. Brother Green was not a, he was a But I had a TV. And the whole reason, my excuse to keeping that TV was I wanted to see what was on the news. I could tell you right now, I could care less what's on the news anymore. I don't want to know what's on the news because of the lies that are spewed out over and over. And you can't trust one media from the next one. I don't care if it's ABC, Fox, NBC. It doesn't matter. I don't even know them all anymore. It can't be trusted because somehow they will put a twist or a spin to try to get you, and then they'll repeat it over and over and over, and eventually it becomes truth to you because it's repeated over and over and over. We must speak God's word verbally and mentally in our self-talk, that thy trust may be in the Lord. It's fitted between our lips. It's in my mouth. I trust the Lord. I trust the Lord. But to get there, it's got to go through here and here. And it's kind of a roller coaster. It runs down deep into the heart. And guess what? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. I trust the Lord. Another part is personal experience. This is a good one. Serving God will bring encounters with all types of experience, and from these, we will learn to trust God. Trials. Faith is going to see me to the trial. Trust is going to see me through it. I have faith that God's going to bring me through this trial, but I have trust that it's going to happen. Sickness. Everybody in this building knows somebody who has a major sickness. And if it's small to us, it's still big to them. It don't matter how small the cancer cell is. That's a big deal to the mind and to the body of the person who's going through it. But I have faith to know God can heal them. But I have trust that it's going to happen. Hurts, disappointments. These things cannot destroy us if we're determined to be saved and develop us within us a deep and abiding sense of confidence and trust. I have confidence in my God. I have a trust in my God because of my experience. After nearly 40 years of leading Israel, David, in reflecting upon his many battles, knew who he could unquestionably trust. He had been betrayed by a son. He had been betrayed by trusted counselors. He had been betrayed by friends. But out of all of it, he could say, 2 Samuel 22:3, "In him will I trust." And David spake unto the Lord these, go to one. And David spake unto the Lord the words of this song in the day that the Lord had delivered him out of the hands of his enemies and out of the hands of Saul. 2. And he said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. The God of my rock, in him will I trust. He's my shield, the horn of my salvation, my high tower, my refuge, my savior. Thou savest me from violence." It's personal experience. My personal experience of walking with him for over 35 years, actually for me, has taught me that I can surely trust God through my personal experiences. Do you have a personal experience that you can undoubtedly say, God brought me through that? Whether it be a sickness, whether it be a trial, whether it be a storm or a dark day in your life or a dark week or a dark year, you had faith that God was going to bring you through it, But once he brought you through it, you can look back and say, that was 100% God, and I can trust that he would do it again. Do you know when God brings you through stuff, he's setting you up. Thank you, Brother Brian, again. It's tied into that. He's setting you up to go somewhere else. Somebody said this weekend, if I hadn't gone to this place, to this place, and to this place over the certain amount of years, I would have never gotten here. That's what he said over the weekend. But I had to go through that spot, and I had to go through that journey, and I had to go through this journey to get me to the high spot that I was here. Personal experience, I trust God. Number three is instruction. Arriving to the point of being able to trust God can be accomplished so much quicker if we can only learn from others. Ooh. I'll say it again. Listen to Pastor. Boy, if I'd have just listened. If I'd have just listened to my daddy, I would have had a whole lot of easier times. But no, I was young. My daddy didn't know nothing. He's just an old fogey. He's just somebody that's trying to keep me from getting to my best potential. No, he wanted to see me be better than what he had went through. And what he was, he wanted me to do better than that. I see that now, but I'm 41. Boy, if I'd have known that at 16. Whew. What about Pastor? I need to listen to my pastor, the man on the wall. I might not understand it at first. Trust me, understanding's coming. But if your man of God in your life tells you no to something, you better trust it. You better trust it. It keeps us from going through the harder times to get to the same place. If I would have listened to my dad when I was 16, there's no telling what difficulties in life I could have avoided. If I would have listened to the word of God and the man of God in my life, I could be so much further in my walk with God than I am at 41. But no, Brother Colton just had to do his way. I had to figure it out on my own. Listen to instruction. God has blessed most of us with parents, elders, ministers, and friends in our lives that we can learn valuable lessons from, and we can trust their word. Receiving instruction from others based on God's word. Now, again, we're don't just listen to everybody. Don't just listen to every voice. But you need to have pillars set up in your life that you know are Bible-based, believing, 100% grounded in the Word of God voices. Because there will be some voices that try to lead you astray. And they're not Bible-based. And they're not founded or grounded in the Word of God. So again, be careful of instructions, but know who your instructors are. Know those that labor among you. I have pillars in my life that I can reach out to and go, hey, I'm struggling with something. I know it's not going to get anywhere else. I know it's not going to be on the lips of 14 different other people throughout the church. I can go to them and I say, Brother Neil, I need help praying about the situation. And I know that Brother Neil's going to pray with me. And that's where it's going to stay. I can go to certain people. Have people in your life that you can go to that you can trust to help you through some things. Receive instructions from others. When those people come to you and say, hey, you're kind of veering off the path a little bit, don't get mad. It is so easy to be like, well, I can't believe they would say that to me. God put them in your life. Sometimes we need to ask the Lord, and this was said this week too, sometimes we need to ask the Lord to put the right people in our life. Put the right friends in my life. If I have to beg God, so to speak, God, put the right people in my life that will steer me correctly and not incorrectly. Instruction. Trust in a great measure can be learned through instructions. Ephesians 1:13. Let's read it. Learning to trust God is one of the greatest truths we could ever learn. So many people have been misled by voices other than God's voice. Sidetracked. Distrust is one of the most miserable, defeating, debasing spirits that we can allow in our lives and our mind. Distrust creates, Ephesians says, in whom ye also trusted, after that you've heard the word of truth. Again, here we go. I've got to hear it. The gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, ye were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. But I had to hear it. I had to hear those words of truth. Be careful. Be careful who you allow in your life that could cause you to distrust the word of truth. Again, I go back to the whole, it's very, very hard to trust people who've lied to you. It's very hard to find, distrust creates in our hearts, what's a good word? Suspicion. Always suspicious. I'm always suspicious. I'm always on edge when I'm around them because I can't trust what they're saying. I can't trust if what they're saying is real or false, or I can't trust the words that are coming out of me. I'm suspicious of their behavior. I'm suspicious of their words. It creates in us, in our hearts, it ultimately can seclude us, right? Because I don't trust them. I don't trust to be around them. I don't want to be around people that I can't trust. I want to be a church that when people walk through that back door, they can go, I trust whatever is in this place. I trust. I don't know. I've never felt this. I've never felt this way before, but I trust what I feel. There's something about it that I can just put my trust into this word. I can put my, because the world out there right now is filled with so much suspicion. I am suspicious about everything on the book of faces, on whatever social media platform you can think of. AI has become a huge thing, and I distrust every bit of it. I distrust every bit of it. I will not chat GPT a sermon. GPT, GT, GPT, GTP, G whatever. I don't trust it. I would rather do my own research than to type in a couple of words and go, oh, yeah, that's great. I'll use that. I don't trust this world. I don't trust the things of the world. So moving forward, and I spoke about it a while ago, faith versus trust. I need a couple volunteers. Brother Wesley, you're going to be faith. Brother John, you're going to be trust. Come up here. Stand on each side of me. All right, whose faith? Your faith and your trust. All right. Two separate commodities that are in my life. But I have to have faith, right? I'm walking. Me and old Faith are walking. We're walking through life. Man, I have faith. Brother Austin, you're about to be a storm. Stand up. And I see a storm coming in my life. Now, I have faith. I see this storm coming. I've heard the word. I've heard the word of God. God's even spoke to me, hey, you're about to go through something. I have faith that I'm going to get through this storm. But where's my trust? Is my trust walking with me? Or did I leave trust back there? Now, this storm looks pretty big. Bigger than me. Bigger than what I can handle. And I think two of us can handle storm. But I would much rather have three of us. I would much rather have not just faith, but trust in God to get me through this storm. Because I don't know what kind of Taekwondo storm has and what kind of training that he might have. But he might take both of us out. And then still, where's my trust? Then what? Do I try to run back and get trust? No, I've left him back there. But I have faith. But where's my trust? Have you learned to trust God? Have you learned to take trust with you and combined trust and faith? Combined trust and faith. Trust, okay, that's a true statement. Trust is slow to develop. But I can tell you when storm comes up and now there's three of us, we're pretty big guys now compared to storm. I have just a little more confidence once I have trust with me. When there's three of us compared to two of us, I just have just that little bit more of I can make it through this storm. Thank you, boys. But I have to have faith and I have to have trust. I can't have one without the other. I can't trust the process if I don't have faith about the process. So faith is essential. It's the necessary ingredient to trust. It is possible to have faith in God while not trusting Him completely. Did you know that? Oh, I have faith in God. Lord, I believe, but help thou my unbelief. Trust is a step beyond a dimension deeper than faith. Many can believe, but cannot trust. Therefore, when their faith does not produce the desired results, they despair, they lose. Because my faith didn't make it through. My faith was called into question. Trust stabilizes and secures us when we do not receive what we have asked and thought we had the faith for. When combined, faith and trust are very powerful allies. Trust will sustain us in what faith does not deliver from us. Trust holds faith in place. Doubt displaces faith, while trust resists and gives no place to doubt, thereby anchoring our faith in God. When our faith does not alter our circumstances, trust enables us to accept life as it is. Remember, faith is the catalyst that projects and propels us toward and into trust. When we turn faith in God, it will mature into trust. Trust then keeps us from becoming bitter when our requests are not granted. Ooh, that's good. Lord, I'm asking you to keep me from this storm. And when God doesn't keep you from that storm, that's when trust steps in and goes, he didn't keep me from it, but he'll keep me through it. And I'm going to put one step in front of the other, one foot in front of the other. Consider some contrast with faith and trust. Faith expects things. I expect it to be done. Trust accepts things when they're not done and propels you forward. Faith produces change. Trust submits to unchanged conditions. Faith reaches, but trust retains. Oh, I'm reaching in God. I'm wanting to go forward in God. But trust says, be still and know that I am God. Faith rushes. Man, I want things done now. I see God doing it. We're a microwave generation. We want it done now. It rushes, but trust waits. Be still and know that I am God. Let God work. That's what trust does. Faith is believing. Oh, I believe it. But trust is knowing. Trust is the ultimate relationship between humans and God. Nothing supersedes it. There are some examples on how trust kept people when faith did not deliver them. Keep in mind that there was no flaw in their faith, but with their faith, they had trust. Let's talk about Daniel. Everybody knows Daniel was a faithful man. He had faith, even when they said, you can't pray. You're not allowed to pray. And people set him up because they knew he would still pray. And so they would sneak around and they would catch him praying and they would go to the king. And ultimately, Daniel found himself in the lion's den. He was a great man of faith. But it was trust the trust in God that caused him to submit to being thrown into the lion's den. Faith and trust are combined in Daniel's life, and God accomplished great things. James and Peter, one was delivered, the other beheaded. Simon's Peter's faith coupled with that of the church delivered him. But when James was beheaded, he needed and had trust. How about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego? Faith caused them, go to Daniel 3:18, Brother Josh. Faith caused them to declare God was able. God is able to deliver us from thy hand, from this fiery furnace. But trust caused them to say, but if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. That's trust. I trust that my God's going to deliver me. Be it known unto thee. Some of us need to stand up and tell the devil sometimes, be it known unto thee. Paul's faith secured him in the experience of 1 Corinthians, while trust caused him to pen the words, go to 2 Timothy 4, 7, and 8, Brother Josh. Paul penned the words, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I've kept the faith. Trust never stands alone without faith. For faith is the essential cornerstone which trust stands. It's important to exercise your faith and gain knowledge and trust in God. God's highest desire is that we trust him. Knowing that our ability to trust and the ingredients necessary for us to do so, God has given some instructions relative to trust. We're to trust him, but we're not to trust in riches. I'm not going to go into it, but Mark 10, 1 Timothy 6, Psalms 49, we are not to trust in riches. We're not to trust in idols, Isaiah 42, Exodus 20, 1 John 5. Those are things that we're not to trust in. Here's a big one. We're not to trust in ourselves. 2 Corinthians 1, Luke 18, Philippians 3. Y'all can look these up later on if you want, but these are things we don't trust in. God warns us of becoming overconfident and trusting human devices and other deceitful things. Over and over again, God admonishes us to trust him and his word. God and his word are trustworthy, deserving our trust and confidence at all times, regardless of what befalls us. God already knows. God already knows. God's not surprised what you're fixing to go through. He just wants you to trust him. Miracles such as where the loaves and fishes were multiplied, bringing out throngs of followers. Trust follows when there's no loaves and fishes. Trust follows when the storms rage and when it seems that all the world is against us. Trust is unaffected by circumstances. It's the highway upon the confident tread. I'm confident in my God. I'm confident that he's going to bring me through this. Distrust is a wretched state, I'm getting ready to close, in which we live in. Certainly, we must learn that some people are not worthy of trust, but we should never allow isolated instances of hurt to drive us into the shell of distrust. We should never allow a hurt of another person to cause us to distrust. Men of God, the church. I've heard it all my life. Oh, that church hurt me. No, a person hurt you, not the church. Oh, I don't trust that church. No, you don't trust a certain person in that church, and it's drove you into a shell of distrust. And that's why people leave churches, because not of church hurt, but of people hurt. Somebody hurt me. Somebody said something bad about me. Guess what? The world says stuff bad about you all the time. I trust in God. I love every one of you dearly. But guess what? I'm not coming to church for you. I'm coming to church for me. I'm coming to church because I need something better than myself. I don't trust myself. So I desire to get closer to God. I love fellowship. I'll be the first one to tell you, I'll talk your ear off. My wife will be the second one to tell you. I love people. But I come to church because I want to grow closer to God. And if I can grasp a hold of that trust in God, maybe in my conversations, I can get somebody else to trust God. Trust is unaffected by environment. War, peace, poverty, prosperity, sickness, health, life, death, all of life's contrasts become fuel for trust. It requires no insight. It thrives in crisis, demands no signs. It demands no wonders. It demands no miracles in order to operate. Trust is quiet. Trust is youthful. Seeks no changes in circumstance. Abounds in shadows, reigns in darkness, needs no recognition. Trust wears no crown. It seeks no throne. It is silent, unseen fortress for the soul of those who possess it. It is something that I hold to. Trust has no restrictions, no limitations or demands. It is not predicated on results. Lives without its ifs, attachments, or amendments. Trust is worry's treatment. Despair's cure, fear's remedy, anxiety's balm, and life's healer. Oh, the truth of the old refrain, 'tis so sweet to trust in Jesus. And my final thought, Job was the epitome of trust. He gave his testimony of how he felt about God. May his testimony be your testimony and my testimony. Though he slay me, Job 13:15, Brother Josh. And I'm closing with this. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. Though he slay me, yet will I trust him. I want to learn to trust God. I want to learn to put my confidence in the word of God. Because no matter what life brings at me, one, God is not surprised. And two, he gives you the ability to trust his process, Brother Crosswell.